Karen Blumenfeld is back with us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Karen, welcome in. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Karen, what does GASP stand for?
GASP stands for Global Advisors on Smoke-Free Policy.
Very good. Now, as you know, I've never smoked in my life and even crushed out the cigarette of a beautiful woman I was dating. That didn't stop me from continuing to date her. Do you, I wanted to ask you this before we get with the drivers. Do you guys have any strategies? You know, come on, men are not going to drop beautiful women just because they're smokers. But I do see in the personal ads, and it's been the last 10 or 15 years, right, with people saying, smokers, don't put in here. I'm not going to date a smoker.
Well, people have their preferences as to who they want to associate with.
I'm saying, do you guys tap into that? Do you try to use that anyway and to say, hey, you know, this isn't an attractive quality. Don't be dating smokers.
Look, our focus is on policy initiatives that protect people from secondhand smoke and help people to quit smoking. So
okay.
That's a different initiative that we haven't become involved with. But people do have their personal preferences, and perhaps, you know, secondhand smoke, there's no safe level of second or third hand smoke. So if someone doesn't want to be near somebody because they don't want to be exposed to those carcinogens, then that's their prerogative.
Okay, Karen, I just read this the other day. Now, you do this every day, too. I didn't even know about third-hand smoke. Can you define that for the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. Third-hand smoke is basically second-hand smoke. It's the second-hand smoke that floats around the air. It doesn't disappear on its own. It lands somewhere on a surface, such as, if you're in a car, it adheres to the upholstery. You can smell it on someone who does smoke in their hair and in their clothing. If you've ever been into a hotel room and it smells like stale smoke, that's third-hand smoke. It's secondhand smoke that adheres to surfaces and continues to gas off these toxins and carcinogens for months on end, maybe even more. And studies recently have shown that thirdhand smoke may be even more toxic and carcinogenic than secondhand smoke because it's compounded secondhand smoke. That's why having no smoking in cars with children present is so important, because we do not want to expose children to secondhand smoke nor thirdhand smoke.
All right. And what, though, gives you the authority to do this? I mean, as parents, this is not an illegal activity. The smoking in the car, they can crack a window. Why in the world should the state then have an interest? I don't think it's the best thing in the world for the parent to be doing this either. I mean, how far would this go, Karen? In your group, when you really get down to it, would you like to see that even in your own home, you have to go outside to smoke?
Well, that happens right now with foster children in many states. If you're a foster child, you are not the foster parent is not to smoke in the child's, where the child's home is, in the car, or where they are outside. That's the law in New Jersey and in many other jurisdictions.
I didn't know that. Well, let's talk about that then. Don't we want people to be adopting kids? I mean, the worst thing in the world, the foster care thing, and I think we'd all agree with that. That's why, as iffy as I am with same-sex parents, I'm okay with them adopting children. I think it's a good thing to have a loving home. And yet you're saying then the smoker has to be put out to this degree if they have a foster kid.
Well, I mean, most courts these days rule when there's child custody issues, when in the best interest of the child, and smoking in the presence of a child is considered in when deciding whether or not a judge will rule custody. So if a judge is willing to and needs to rule with regards to custody as to whether or not a parent smokes, then the courts have already spoken on this. Look, this is about protecting children from secondhand smoke, protecting them from a Class A carcinogen. What parent would want to expose a child to something that's so carcinogenic that it's harmful to them?
Okay, and
There's no reason to do that. But
what's the best study that you would cite for listeners? Because this is a bone of contention. Look, I am a prudent guy, and I believe in erring on the side of safety. I get all that. But I've seen a lot of science back and forth that says that secondhand smoke is way overblown, and now you're talking about third-hand smoke. What study do you guys right now, Karen, on your side of it, what is the premier study that you think is impregnable to this stuff?
Well, let me just preface this by saying there are still members of the Flat Earth Society, even though it's been proven that the Earth is
nice
not flat.
Nice shot. There we go. All right.
Okay.
Are you a fan of climate change? I'm sure that you'd be in that camp.
You know what? I'm not talking about climate change. I'm talking about this issue of that it has been proven time and time again. You can talk to any or read any study from the Center for Disease Control, from the Journal of American Medical Association. Universally, every scientist that has studied this, okay, that is not in the pockets of the tobacco industry, have concluded. The courts already take judicial notice, which means that you don't have to show the studies anymore that secondhand smoke is dangerous. It's already accepted fact. So anyone who doesn't think that that's the case, they're entitled to their opinion, but the point of the matter is that it is what it is.
Okay, so Karen, you've opened up every time that I talk. What's the latest on the casinos and what you guys are doing, particularly in Atlantic City? I think because they weren't doing well. I remember Revel, for example, which went under, but Revel offered the smoke-free environment, and we saw what happened. They went under.
Well, you're making a big jump there.
Well,
okay?
I mean, there's all kinds of $20 bologna sandwiches hurt them, too. I agree. But, you know, Karen,
nobody knew that they were smoke-free. They never advertised.
Karen,
they went on their website. They didn't even have it.
Well, Karen, they said it. That was their big thing. We're going to find younger gamblers. We don't like the old. And we're going to charge a lot. And we're going to be smoke-free. That's what people want.
But they never advertised or marketed it.
But Karen, come on. Now, you're a person.
They went smoking permitted, they still shut down. So you can't make smoke-free a scapegoat for Atlantic.
Wait a minute, though.
That's ridiculous.
I'll get an update on where it stands right now. But Karen,
I mean, look at Delaware. Delaware has 100% right. Smoke-free gaming. They're doing great. New York State, number one slot racino in the country.
I'd have to see this because gamblers.
Massachusetts, all the casinos opening in Massachusetts,
Karen,
including those by Caesars.
Right.
If it's so bad for business, why would Caesars, why would all these casinos?
I've been to Atlantic City, Karen, and I got to say, most of these people that have addicted personality with gambling, whatever, they are smokers. I mean, that's what they want to do.
Most non-smokers don't want to be around smoke, so who's going to go to a smoky casino but smokers?
Okay, and what's the rules right now in the Atlantic City casinos? What's the rule?
The rule right now is that you can smoke on 25% of the gaming floor and not smoke on 75%, but the smoking and non-smoking areas are all mixed up, so you can figure out whether or not that's being abided by.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. But I still stand that the smokers are one area, gamblers, that these people are going to be smokers. 855-839-1210. Karen, as always, will take calls. What else is going on in New Jersey or nationally before we take some calls with you, Karen, that is in this arena of the pushback of the rights of smokers versus the rights of everyone else?
Well, I mean, really, the smoking in cars with kids is taking a front seat, no pun intended, but it's really important. I mean, Arkansas, California, Louisiana, Maine, Oregon, and Utah already require no smoking in cars when kids are present. So it's not as if this is some newfangled
idea. And that means that is not a secondary offense, that is the
some
offense?
Some are primary, some are secondary.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So Jersey, it's only secondary if this goes through. It seems to me, reading it, though, they have more traction this time than they have previously.
Well, one would hope. I mean, who would be opposed to protecting a child? I mean, seriously. I mean, these are young children. They cannot extricate themselves from the situation. They're completely defenseless. And why would a parent want to expose their child to something that's going to be harmful to them? It's a class A carcinogen, benzene and asbestos.
Okay.
What parent wants to expose their children to asbestos?
Okay, before we take callers, one more question. Every time we have you on, we get... If I were advising, you guys are winning on this, and I'm a non-smoker. I mean, I have, you know, as I told you, I don't like smoking. In that smoking is way down. Why then take this activist stance versus the winning hearts and minds stance to try to convince, I don't even know, do you have a sense in Jersey, say adults that are over, let's make them over 25, what percentage are smokers? Do you have a guesstimate?
Yeah, 15% of adults in New Jersey smoke. 85% do not. Out of the 15% who do smoke, 70% want to quit.
Okay, and a lot of them are probably over 40, right?
That we don't know.
I bet that's the over-under, or maybe 50 even, that those that are under 30, we're not going to see seceding generations be smoking, or are we?
Well, the what's flatlined really are the smoking rates amongst teens. The rates for teenage smoking has not gone down.
Wait a minute, Karen, it has not?
Not in the last couple of years.
Now, is that females, white females, who are afraid that they will get fatter if they don't smoke? Is that the one?
I don't think that's a data point. I think
that's my experience as a high school teacher. The only ones I saw were these white girls who were already too thin, wanting to remain thin, and they wouldn't give up smoking because they would eat. I'm telling you, that's what I saw.
Right, that's like anecdotal information.
Well,
the
that's
surveys
what I
that are
thank
done
you.
Are, right, the
right.
Surveys that are done, I think, look at different data points. But really, the smoking rates amongst youth have not declined as steadily as they have in the past.
All right. And how about stereotypically, or I've read this somewhere, Karen, you're the expert on it, the big smoker groups ethnically, Asians?
Not necessarily. Again, you have to look at not only demographics, but geographics, locations, et cetera. So you can't just pinpoint one particular demographic for, you know, for smoking. And there's all different types of products that are smoked, and that, and those can also be associated with different demographics.
Okay. And is there a big smokers area that you guys have called? Don't go there in Jersey. Is there a bigger, you know, northern or southern? Where a heavy smoking area? Do you know?
Well, usually the higher smoking rates are among, in the cities as
yep.
well as in South Jersey. There are some higher smoking rates. As well. So South Jersey seems to tend, the Northwest, New Jersey seems to tend, and then, of course, in the cities where you have a mix of demographics.
Okay.
It has to do with education as well,
right.
education well, level.
What's your website for GASP?
Our website is NJ, like New Jersey, GASP, G-A-S as in Sam, P as in Paul, .org.
All righty, stand by and we'll take some callers for Karen Blumenthal here on Talk Radio 1210. Every time I have her on when we're talking about this specific issue of what they're coming up with, I hear, doing research for this, third-hand smoke. And, oh, yes, third-hand smoke. You know, fourth-hand smoke here. We're going to, you know, leftover from eons ago. And the casinos, I remember, don't you, the Revel, saying, you're not going to smoke in this bill. We don't want any of you smokers. Come on now. I've seen a woman oxygen thing, carrying the oxygen thing and the cigarette there, smoking. Yeah. Gamblers, that type of thing in a casino. I don't know where these people go, what they do now to smoke. 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210. Let's go to Bill in Levittown to start us off on Talk Radio 1210. Bill, you're on with Karen. Go right ahead.
Hey, download the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Good morning. A question I had for you is the government has felt the need to ban things like creosote, DDT, and all kinds of environmental things. Freon, I remember changing my car in the 80s. Everyone had to change their car to a different freon. How much money does it take to buy off politicians so that they can grow tobacco instead of corn? It seems like if you eliminate first-hand smoke, you won't have second and third-hand. But as soon as you mention that, everyone says, oh, well, you can't take on the tobacco lobby. There's too much money. Doesn't seem like the government cares when it, you know, when they're concerned with the ozone, let's say. They just flat out ban things.
Well, Karen,
why can't they just ban?
Karen, does GASP have a long-term strategy or policy that you'd like to ban smoking?
Well, we would like to see a tobacco-free society because tobacco use is the number one cause of preventable disease and death. Why would we want a product on the market that is the number one cause of preventable disease and death? Think about the health care costs associated with it, let alone the lives that are lost.
And I would answer, and I don't know if Bill's in your camp or not, Karen, I would answer you because we live in a free society. You have a right in America to be stupid. I think people are stupid that smoke or they're addicted or both, but you have a right to do stupid stuff. We all do. How about people that are overeating?
But, you can't just say you have a right to do stupid stuff. I mean, the government does intervene when there are other products on the market that do create hazards and kill people. So, I mean, you can't just say, then we should just throw out the design defect product liability laws because we should just let people do
well, Wait a minute, though. I realize that there's a possibility, but since we're ostracizing smokers, we're cutting down on that. How about people that are overeating, obesity? Today's National Donut Day. Do we go there next?
Well, see, I don't think we're – I mean, our organization doesn't ostracize smokers. We actually want to help people that – like I said, 70% of people want to quit. So we're not ostracizing anyone. We're just protecting people from a behavior that –
No, but I'm talking about the banning. To you and Bill, to the banning, why don't we start to look at obesity then, which is rising right up there with smoking as a causal element – for high health care costs.
Actually, I mean, Robert Johnson Foundation is spending a lot of money on that. There are a lot of foundations and governmental entities that
No, I'm talking about banning or stopping and trying to stop people from doing this and making it harder.
Doctor,
but you have to understand something, that when you eat a donut, that's not affecting Bill or me. When you smoke
okay,
a donut,
and I agree. I can see that's a difference. Bill will give you the final word on that. Yes.
What I would say is there's no safe smoking in moderation. Normally, I would side with you, Tom, but in this case, you can't smoke safely. It causes cancer. You can't just say, well, I socially smoke like you socially might drink, and there might even be some health benefit to a glass of wine. But there's no benefit to smoking.
I don't see any benefit, but not everybody gets emphysema, cancer, or whatever from it, Bill. And again, we are in a free society. But I do like the debate about let's ban it rather than what we're doing now. Let's have that debate. Thank you, Bill, very much. And Karen, thank you as always. Would you give your website for gas one more time, please?
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
We always enjoy speaking with you.
I am revved up. I can go out and run 5 miles right now.
Go for it.
There you go.
It's njgasp.org.
Very good. Thank you, Karen. Thanks very much.